And our devotional book, I don't know if anybody has it this morning for November. If you've been in with us on the devotional, it ended on the 31st. And today, and what was it? Thursday, Friday, we have moved into the book of what?
Revelation.
Revelation, okay, good. So, Revelation, wow, this is a... Okay, we just went from Leviticus, which I said is a book that, when we introduced that book, it's probably the last book that Christians today go to read. Nobody goes to read Leviticus, even though I was sharing with you over and over again that the Jewish tradition in the Jewish culture, it's the first book that Jewish children are taught to read. Right? Fascinating, right? But I don't have any fascinating comment for Revelation. Revelation may be in a battle with Leviticus for the book that we least want to read, right? I think that from my own history, I've seen that there are either two types of... Revelation creates two types of Christians. Christians who don't want to get into Revelation, or, and some of you might know what I'm talking about, Christians who get into Revelation and never come out of Revelation. Okay, like they love the study of Revelation, and it's like become like their life focus, the book of Revelation. And it's not that many people, but I see that happens to people. And so I think there's two responses traditionally for Christians when we think about the book of Revelation. One of the response of Revelation is fear, right? I fear the book. It's loaded with riddles. It's loaded with all types of things I don't understand. Or two, the other response to Revelation is becoming a fanatic, right? Like I'm a Revelation monster. And I don't know if you do, but I know people. I know some people that are just, they are almost fanatical about the book of Revelation, and it kind of worries me. I think C.S. Lewis had something to say about that, and I'll share that quote with you down the line. But I want you guys to talk about it as we begin, okay? What are your thoughts as we begin reading and studying the book of Revelation? We only have 6 weeks, okay? So we're going to read through our devotional books. If you don't have... one of the devotional books. Kai, is Kai in here yet? Kai's right there. Raise your hand, Kai, so people can see. If you want to order that, I don't know how much they are. I think like $40 a year or something like that. And you can follow along in our journey with it. We're going to be reading through Revelations in 6 weeks. If you don't want to purchase, you can go online. And there's this website called, what's it called? It's called Living Life, right? Living Life, and then you'll find there's a few languages in there, but you'll find English, daily devotion, something like that. And you can follow along in there as well. So you could do your devotions on your phone. You could follow along with our class for your daily reading. It's great because it'll give you a passage of scripture, and then they have usually two little paragraphs where they explain the scripture, so they do a good job of explaining God's word, and they use a lot of good sources for the English. I don't know about the Chinese, but I know for the English they use some good sources, and then they have usually about 2 to 4 reflection questions. How can I think about God's word today for my life? Okay, so you could go and check that out, but
it's actually Durano.
Oh, is it Durano? Okay, sorry. So it's I'll use the other marker then. Durano. Two R's?
One R, two N's.
Two N's, right?
Durano.com.
/,
living life.
Okay, /, living waters.
Living life.
Okay, so go ahead and check that out and do your thing. Get into it and follow along with us on the journey. We're only going to be in Revelations for 6 weeks. I don't even know. I don't even know how I'm going to teach through this. Obviously, we can't do too deep of a dive, but... You know, we're going to spend, 6 weeks kind of doing themes and stuff like that. But why don't you get in your group for just about like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and see what are your thoughts as we begin? Are you afraid? Are you a fanatic? Are there some fanatics in the room? I would love to have a Revelation fanatic in here. And we can just totally get into that. And I'm going to shut you down a little bit, right? Because, you know, but feel free to express yourself, right? So we do both here. Express and shut down. We do both. So talk about it in your groups real quick. What are your thoughts? Good, bad, scary? Do you like reading it? Have you stayed away from it? What is it filled with? Whatever. Okay, so talk about that 2 minutes and we'll come back together. Okay, let's see. Let's come back together. What are some of the thoughts? We're going to go around the room. Let me know. Allow me to hear some of your thoughts. Fans, fears, fanatics. What are we? Scared? It's a little scary. It could be. So go ahead. Let's share some words. Start from, you guys want to start there or here? Okay, we'll give you guys a chance to start. Give me a word or two. What do you guys think?
Interesting.
Okay, we have interesting.
Difficult.
Okay, let's go down the line. Anybody else? Next group.
Mysterious.
Good. Mysterious. What else?
Has not occurred yet.
Okay. Has not occurred. Let's get into that. Good. Anything else in the back?
Prophecy,
yes. Okay, we know that there's prophecy in there. Good. What else? Is it all prophecy? Is it all, you know? Okay. Here we go. What else we got? In the back, anybody else? Okay, we got 4 or 5 words already. No? Okay. Here? How about the back of this table here? Revelation, thoughts?
Wild.
Huh?
Wild.
Fun, yes! Fun, good. It is fun. Okay, it is fun. Not easy to read, but fun. Yes, good. What else?
Controversial.
Yes, very controversial. Anything else? Last group up here.
Super intriguing.
Okay, so we have mysterious, interesting, intriguing, good. Fun, I like that, fun.
How about more? Warnings.
Whoa, yes, okay, warnings. Good. I want to share with you that all of the Word of God is important. The Bible cannot be complete. If I had an extra lesson, I would actually teach and show you what the Bible would be like if the book of Revelation was not included. If the Bible ended in our Bible in Jude. Okay. I'll say it quickly. How many of you have seen a good movie recently? Give me a good movie. It's okay, you can share what you've seen. Give me a good movie. Anybody seen movies? Nobody watch movies in here. Or you're just all lying. No movies. Yes. Okay, the Addams Family movie, okay? Okay, how about good books? Addams Family movie. Anybody read books? Nobody read books. Okay, yes, another reader. Good. What book? Before I Fall, okay? The Bible without revelation is like watching a movie or reading a book without ever getting the conclusion to the story. Okay? That's how critical revelation is to the entire scope of God's Word. You don't have revelation, you don't have the end. You don't have revelation, you don't know how the story ends. Okay? That's how important and instrumental revelation is to our understanding of what God's communicating in His whole Word to us. Okay? We want to hear the end. But for a lot of you who are younger believers, even though I encourage reading any part of the Bible, I don't highly recommend you beginning to read the Bible with just Revelation. It's kind of going to a book or a movie and watching the end of the movie. You kind of need to get all the other pieces to kind of get a picture of where it came from. What we're going to do is I'm going to try. Now, I've taught Revelation before, but not in like just 6 weeks. And what I'm going to try to do today is we are going to read these verses. If you have your Bible, turn it open if you like. If you want to read up here, it's fine. I'm going to try to introduce, I'm going to give you the introduction of revelation after we, you and I, because this is what we're learning to do in our devotional life, you reading God's word. And without a whole lot of resources, right? This is what we did even last week when we ended Leviticus, right? We took all of our tools of Leviticus and we read from Leviticus 22, a section, and you guys figured it out on your own. Wasn't that powerful? That was a good class, wasn't it? I thought it was pretty cool. Well, what we're going to do, you don't have all the tools to study Revelation, but I think it's easy enough. I've heard it said before that there's no better sense than reading the Bible first with just good sense, right? It's a thought like that, meaning you don't have to have all the tools or be a theologian to understand Revelation, right? You don't have to be a master's a graduate, you know, to understand the book of Revelation. You don't have to be a high school graduate to understand Revelation, right? So our common sense reading is going to give us things to think about. That's what we're going to do, and then I'm going to use this to introduce the book. Is that fair? Everybody good with that? All right. And there's a reason why we're actually going to just read through the word, and you'll find out as we read through it this morning. Okay. Let me turn my Bible open to Revelation. You can look it up here yourself. And as we do that, we're going to read all the way to verse 8 from chapter 1. And I read in the ESV version. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. All right. May God bless you in the reading of his word. Give me some observations. I'm going to just grab some different color markers and you give me some observations. What if I was to introduce the book of Revelation to you, what are some observations you can make already just by reading God's word? You know, like some of the basics that we want to know, right? Like, who's the author? What's it called? Why is it called that way? What is the purpose? Who is it written to? You know, and why and purpose and what's going on there? You guys want to take a stab at it?
Wasn't this the revelation of John?
Okay. Did you read that in the scripture here?
Yes.
Okay, tell me where. What verse?
Verse 1.
Verse 1. Very good. What would you like me to circle?
He made it known by sending his
angel. Okay, so he made it known. Okay, who made it known? Who made it known? Okay, so he made it known by sending his angel what? To his servant John. Is there anywhere else that it talks about or reveals to us that the author is his servant John?
Verse 4.
Good, verse 4. John, okay, this is a traditional type of dear so-and-so. This is from so-and-so. traditionally, in that time, they would start their letters by introducing who they are. So that, like today, I'd write a letter to this brother right here. From Alex to my dear Milton. That's how they would start. So you would see a, here's John, because he's writing to an audience, right? Good. So we know now that the author is John. Okay. Is it the same John who wrote the Gospel of John? Is it the Apostle John? Most scholars believe so, but... Okay, so we can leave it there. We have John. What else can we learn about Revelation through God's Word? And what else kind of stands out to you here? Anything else we can learn about Revelation through just reading these first few verses? Yes. You don't have to raise your hand. You just shout it out.
I thought it was interesting because it's using words like soon and near, saying it's going to happen.
Okay. All right. So we have something talking about. So there's something about. So what does that tell us? Give me soon and near. Where is that?
So soon is at the end of verse 1.
Okay. So we see soon at the end of verse 1. Good. Okay.
And then near is at the end of verse 3.
Okay. And we say for what is near? The time is near. Okay. Something is going on. The time is near. Right? So. Someone earlier said prophecy. Okay, so it has to do with prophecy. Okay. Soon, near. But is it all have to do with prophecy? Because we need to find out some other facts about this letter. Come on.
It's addressed to seven churches.
Okay, good. We see that the audience is the seven churches that are in Asia, right? So we got our audience, right? So we have our author, and we have our audience. Or, not audience, what's that other word? Recipient. Okay, good. See, we're figuring out a lot of stuff with this. What else? What else can we see from this? If we know that it's written to the seven churches, and there's some other language here, what does that tell us? The content is being written to whom? Is it to a non-Christian audience, or is it to a Christian audience?
Christian.
Okay. So we know that it's being written to Christians. Okay. All right, what else? What else do you guys see? Anything else that stands out that makes this letter distinct?
Distinct.
Yeah. I mean, something that tells you about Revelations. What's special about it?
Verse 8.
What is verse 8? Okay, yes.
Yeah. Suggesting again, like the significance of God.
Right. Okay, so there's definitely, even in his introduction, you see all throughout this, you see the significance of God. Okay? It's all about God. Last week, or as we study through the Old Testament law, we said that when you read the Old Testament law, we need to read it through the Old Testament cake, right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. But what's the top layer of the cake? What's the final question we should ask in any scripture that we read in the Old Testament? What does it say? The top layer of the cake, which has all the best stuff and all the goodies and all the frostings and all the stuff on there, is what? Is God. So at the end of the day, when we read through Old Testament, it was all about, we got to ask ourselves, what is this telling me about God? Okay? There's not a New Testament cake from that perspective, but I would say that we should think about that when we read about Revelation. So a very good observation. We don't want to only get hung up on all the prophecy and the future events and all that stuff. Because that's what makes fanatics. That's what kind of gets us a little bit lost and wandering through Revelation. We always need to stop and pause and say, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about who God is and why I should worship Him and why He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and who is and who was and who is to come? There's something about that. He always was. He is today. He is the one to come. Time is nothing to him. when time is everything to us. Yeah. Okay, great. Great observations. Okay. Anything else here?
Kind of similar to the Old Testament cake. I made it. This is like the revelation of Jesus Christ, so like the main character is
yes.
Jesus.
Okay. You misspoke. You just said it's the revelations of Jesus Christ.
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Ah, but many of us call it the book of revelations. But this actually says the revelation. Is the title of revelation, is it revelation or revelations?
Singular.
It's singular. Ah, that's good to know. I think a lot of us miss that a lot of times. We're like, just like we might call, is the Psalms a psalm or psalms? Like when you refer to a psalm, do you say, oh, let's turn to Psalms 23? Or is it Psalm 23, right? So this is revelation. So it is the revelation, going back to our sister's comment, right? Rebecca, what's the significance? Who is this the revelation of? It's the does it tell us? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So we got to get that square here. All of this book is a revelation, a showing of. The Greek word is apocalypto, so it's like the end story, if you will, the revelation of all that's going to go on regarding Jesus Christ. There's some significance that we got to not miss that as we begin our study. You guys with me? Yeah. Okay, so it's about Jesus, right? The significance of all this is for God. It's not just for us to know about prophecy. It's for us to know about God. Look at it. It's bookended right here. This is a device, by the way. Okay, so like really good writers, they use devices like this. It's called there's fancy words for it, but this is called bookending. Okay, it's like two bookends holding everything up together. Right, you take the bookend off on one side, the books fall over. You need two bookends to hold it together. These are two bookend statements. Okay. So when we talk about, yeah, there's going to be stuff that helps you understand the things that soon must take place, yes, it's all about Jesus. The significance of this is to help us know God. Okay? Great. Good. Anything else?
I thought it was interesting in verse 7.
Yes.
When he includes all who will see him, even those who...
right.
So... Everybody in all walks of life are going
to... Right. But what is all walks of life to those who pierced him? That's loaded. What does that mean? Right? Huh?
Persecuted.
Those who persecuted? Okay. Those who condemned Jesus? But wouldn't those people be already dead? A lot of those people might already be dead. But they're going to see him? Yeah.
People who rejected him?
All are going to see him, right? Good. But what does it say specifically when it starts talking about these people? They're going to see him, but then what? Because every eye, you just brought up, every eye will see him, but what? Is it going to be like happy? Are they going to be like, yes, we rejected Jesus and now we see Jesus? No, what does it say? Oh, they're going to wail. There's going to be some wailing. Where's wailing at?
End of verse 7.
Okay, good. Right? So there's going to be some wailing on account of who? Jesus. Oh, man. And it says, that's why he says, even so. Even so. All right, yes. This is going to be good. Right? Amen. It's like, yes, it's going to be good. So it's like, even though there's going to be wailing. Wailing's not even just like, oh, there's going to be a lot of crying. And a lot of sadness. Wailing gives you a whole new picture. Yeah? Wailing is no bueno. That's not good stuff. Right? We are in a not good time for some people when we all see him. Right? That should do something for us too today. Right? We should have a response to that. Friends, family of ours who reject him. We don't want that for any soul, do we? Okay? All right, good. Anything else?
I noticed in chapter 4,
Okay, we're not in chapter 4, but verse 4.
Yep. 4, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes,
four.
Sure, sure, sure.
They refer quite to the number 7. 7 churches and 7 spirits.
Ah, wonderful. Good. Oh, we got a borderline fanatic? I don't know. Let's see. Hey, great, great. Oh, no, I like that. I like that. I like that. Okay? We have 7, and we see 7. Okay, we got some. We got somebody picking up on numbers here. Good. Good. Good, 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 good. We see 7 and 7. Any other 7s? Are there any other 7s in Revelation? Mm. Yes, there are a lot. And there's significance to that. Good. Question, somebody, hand up.
Yeah, I remember reading a commentary about, and since you mentioned bookend, and then verse 8, and it kind of like, in that commentary, they were saying they were referencing back to Genesis, and then this is the bookend.
Oh, got it, yes. Well, so you missed my introduction, which was saying that, which is okay, because I know you guys had hot water issues this morning, but I'm glad you took a shower with boiling water, and Bob did not. Let me just give him away now. So Bob should have extra deodorant on today, but he texted me, hey, Pastor Ross, we're coming late. Why? You guys okay? Okay, but good. I'm glad you showered. But in the beginning, or bathed with boiling water, that's good. So there is, I said that the book of Revelation, if left out of the Bible, would be incomplete.
Yes.
It's like watching a movie without the end, right? So you have this beginning, this massive introduction to the story. Because when we think of the Bible, we need to read the Bible. This is my attempt. The Bible from beginning to end. Does that look like anything? Is the Bible open, right? And this is the beginning and end. This is one story. We have to begin seeing the Bible and understand that this is one story. It all links. So when we get too myopic with word studies, which is good, I do word studies all the time. When we get too myopic and we don't understand, even like we went through in Leviticus, covenants and the language to understand, it's all one story. And it's a beautiful, the greatest, most precious story ever told. The story that all stories are based off of and try to achieve. Okay? So, great. Well, anything else here?
What does it mean, 7 spirits?
Oh, what does it mean? Okay, I'm not going to start explaining stuff right now.
Okay.
Okay, because we're in trouble. We're definitely going to get into numbers. Because, I'll share a little later. Okay? I could go there. You're tempting me. Okay. All right. Anything else here? Yes, a few more. Okay. Okay.
So this one always starts out, is that really faith in Jesus? It's like a service or more of like, you kind of see like his power.
Yes.
That presence of like who he is.
Good observation. Many other places we see Jesus, the servant. Jesus, Philippians 2, in humility. We see a lot of that language throughout the New Testament. The Jesus, meek and mild. Baby Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus in a manger. Sweet Jesus, the one who has compassion on prostitutes and the lowest of society. And we see that, yes. We see a different picture of Jesus, don't we, here? We see a complete picture of Jesus now. Because this is not Jesus, weak, baby Jesus, meek and mild. This is a different Jesus. There's no servant language. There is going to be some of that in reference to the Lamb, okay? But we see a different picture of Jesus all together in the old, in Revelation. This is the Jesus of who he is today. Already. He is sitting at the right hand of God. Though he has chosen to allow himself to remain in a limited bodily form today. That's his love. But make no mistake, this is not weak Jesus. When we read the Revelation, we will see powerful Jesus reigning, ruling, conquering, destroying, judging Jesus. The gloves are off. And we need to have that picture of who Jesus is. That should affect our faith today. Is my Jesus weak? Or is my Jesus victor? Is my Jesus in control of what everything is going on in my life today? Or is he kind of like, I don't know what's going on. Oops, I looked away. I forgot what was happening in your life. I was a little too busy. Is he Jesus that is unable to conquer? Or is he the Jesus who holds all things in his hand? Gives us a different perspective of who we worship, who is our Lord, right? Who is our Savior? You see the dying Jesus, and that's why Catholics, when you see them wear crucifix and crosses, you always see Jesus on there. You see the suffering Jesus. You see the human Jesus who's been suffered and crucified. Jesus is not on the cross no more. He's already sitting in glory at the right hand of the Father. That cross is empty. It reminds us of something. But that was Jesus subjecting himself to humans to accomplish his Father's will. Jesus is not in that position anymore. Yeah. Good. Anything else here? How about right in the middle here? Do you guys think about this? Verse 3. There is a blessing to reading aloud the words of this prophecy. I was blessed, and you were blessed this morning as we read these verses aloud. I have tinkered with the idea of having an entire church read through the book of Revelation out loud. Again, I have all these crazy ideas. I haven't talked about Pastor James yet. I just have all these big ideas. I bury them. But it's just a thing that I've thought about. Like, can we just, if it says this, do we believe it? Do we read it out loud? What would happen to our church if we read the whole book of Revelation out loud? Is there really a promise? Do we believe that this is true or not? Or do we kind of go like, that's there, but let's not do it? Like, wouldn't you want to find out? Are we blessed to read out loud? I know of a man who has memorized the entire book of Revelation, word for word, and he speaks it out. He, in a sense, performs it. The whole book of Revelation. I think there's special blessing to a church if I can invite him over and have him like, but he can't do it in Chinese. That sucks. But, you know, have it all just delivered out, or if we read it together. I've tinkered with that idea. Would that be just a powerful blessing for our church? Yeah? Okay, good. A lot of good observations you guys made. I'm going to go through a few of these real quick, and then we're going to end. Check this out. So let me move my smart board here. So if we see, okay, we got the revelations here. You'll see in the later verses, starting from verse 9 and 10, that this book was written by, okay, I'm saying the Apostle John, when he was a captive on the island. If we want to get really technical, it's not 100%, okay, but we can have quite a lot of confidence that it is. When he was a captive, he was a prisoner on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, and it dates from about 95. So it also says in verse 10 that John was in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And that does not mean, is not referring to a Sabbath day. Okay, Saturday or Sunday at that time. It's not. It's referring to a day that was set up by the Emperor of Rome at that time. We'll talk about that in just a second. Had these visions. Okay, all right. Give you a map real quick. If you don't know where Patmos is, where would Patmos be? This is Paul's journey, so we're not really talking about Paul right now, but it's a good map. Any clue of where Patmos might be?
In the Aegean Sea.
Okay, the Aegean Sea. Where's the Aegean Sea? Very good. This is Mediterranean, top left, Aegean Sea. And Any idea of where the seven churches may be?
Somewhere
on the map? Good. Okay, because someone remembers that the seven churches where?
In Asia.
Okay, that's referring to Asia Minor at the time. This is Asia Minor at this time. So seven churches are here in this area. The island of Patmos is on here. It's actually labeled. Okay, Lily finds it?
Just there.
Okay. Wow. So what area is this here today? Do you guys know? Pretty cool area. It's a place where a lot of us would want to go.
Greece.
Right, very good. So these are in the Greek islands, right? So here is modern-day Turkey, right? This is that corner of that map. Just to give you guys a picture. This is the corner of the map right here. And it's going to blow it up into a little picture like this. I like this picture because it's almost look like food to me. I, for some reason, it looks foody. I like jerky, right? Somebody said jerky. Yeah, like I want, or turkey. Turkey meat? Okay, so here's modern-day Turkey. The Dodecanese Islands, part of the Greek islands here. And here's the island of Patmos. Wondering if it still exists today? You guys think island of Patmos exists today?
Yeah.
If you search on Google Maps, this is my snapshot of Google Maps. It does exist today. Here's Patmos here.
So nice.
So nice. It gets 4.6 stars on Google. Okay? I mean, it's an island. Okay? It's an island that people want to go and visit. Okay? It is gorgeous. It's beautiful. But just to give you an idea, here's modern-day Turkey. Today, you have your Istanbul up here, right? You have Greece over here and, you know, Bulgaria, Albania, all that stuff. It's here. We see it. It's true. It exists. 4.6 stars on Google. These are some pictures from Google right here. Look at this. Is this... If you were a prisoner...
It did look like that.
On an island. Take away the white paint and the buildings. That's a good island to be in the spirit on, okay? Like, talking about having... The beauty of God's green earth and being filled with the Spirit of God, that's an idyllic vacation, right? Being in the Spirit of God and enjoying God, even though his visions were a little bit frightening, okay? But still, okay? Today, on Patmos, you'll find this large prison-like building that was built a long time ago, but that's St. John's Monastery, that's what they call it today. So here's a side view of it, like on like fodders or something to make people want to go and visit it. But this is kind of where they would say, where they speculate John had his visions. Okay. Kind of cool though, right? Kind of just let you guys know that this stuff, you know, it's out there. this word made it known. He made it known by sending his angel. This word made it known means he signified it. That's a KJV. Actually use that word. And that idea, this particular term that is being used, tying to what our brother brought up in the back regarding the number seven and symbols, this book is filled with signs, symbols, numbers. Okay? Again, we would be careful to not get fanatical about it. We also don't have to fear it. We don't have to be on these two extremes, but we can understand it for us today. Okay? And one of the reasons why symbols are used are for ease of understanding. If I showed you a picture today as you're driving along the street and you see a red hexagonal shape, what would you think you need to do?
Stop.
You don't even need the words. It's a symbol. The symbol makes easy to understand, right? This book is filled with abstract ideas that through symbols are made easy for us to understand. Symbols are also not just like they're just pulled out of nowhere. Most of these symbols are found somewhere else in the Bible, okay? So just be aware of that. You will see a lot of that, and we'll explain some of those. I'm going to skip that. Should we keep going? Nah. Let's end. Time's up. We're good? So, check it out. These are the observations you guys made on the first 8 verses. We'll add some more next week. But I hope that even through reading God's Word this morning and just, we didn't use dictionaries, we didn't use commentaries. You guys made observations of God's Word, and that was enough for us to get a picture of what God's doing for us in Revelation. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time, and we pray that when we see actual promises in your word, that we would take heed to them, that we would be so excited to receive your blessing that we would obey your word. And Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters would all be on this journey through 6 weeks of looking at the conclusion of the story of you, God. The picture through Scripture that you want us to see of who you are. And when we understand who you are, the more we're going to be amazed that you've allowed us to love you. And we cannot help but love you. And we cannot help but bowing down to worship you. And we cannot help but want to offer you our time, because the short life that we have is all meant for a purpose. Help us to understand that, how we may be a part of your story. Thank you, God. Bless us in our reading as you promised us through the book of Revelation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.